Richard Butler presents lifestyle, real estate, and investment opportunities in the booming South Pacific. Opportunities south of the equator. Learn about the unique and voted happiest country in the world. The tax-friendly nation of Vanuatu to the bustling southern business hub city down under, Sydney, Australia. From Fiji Islands to the mining states of the western Australasian township of Perth. From the tropical North Australian state, Queensland, its capital, Brisbane, called the Sunshine State of Australia, to the remote and beautiful Cook Islands nestled in the wondrous island chains of the Pacific Islands. Richard Butler, with over 35 years experience in the real estate business as a developer of residential and resort properties with opportunities in export, from timber to wine from the world-famous vineyards down under, will educate and open your perspective on his part of the world in the South Pacific. Blue skies, azure blue waters, no pollution, fantastic weather. Richard Butler is also the preeminent authority on all things from Vanuatu, where he is appointed trade commissioner for the Republic of Vanuatu. Get ready for an hour of interesting interviews with people down under who can do remarkable things, and updates weekly on what is happening in and around the magnificent world of the South Pacific.
And a very great day to you. I hope it's a fantabulous life that you're living. Certainly we are here on the program Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. I'm Brian Thomas. Glad to be with you today. No matter what time zone you might be in, what hemisphere, it's going to be a fantabulous day. And I'll tell you what, on this program, even better, because Richard Butler's going to join us in just a little bit. And as he always does, he's got the Australian real estate roundup. And every time I hear about this roundup, I just think that we might as well be in a horse race, because it sounds like some of the property that's going in Australia right now is just absolutely phenomenal. And you better hurry up and get it before, ouch, the price goes up a little bit more. You may recall last week we had Randy Mitchell on the program. He was at the Dare to Escape conference. He's going to follow up with us today on the show and tell us a little bit more about the self-directed IRA. So get ready for that. And how about this? How about the top 10 reasons why investing in Vanuatu land is a great idea? Richard is going to tell us about it. He actually wrote an article, and you can see it at escapeartist.com, Vanuatu. But we're going to talk about it today on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network. Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. What a great title for the show, and we're certainly going to talk about some Vanuatu stuff, including real estate, and how you might use your self-directed IRA to invest in some Vanuatu land, or for that matter, depending on how much money you have, maybe you might want to take that self-directed IRA and invest in some land or property in beautiful Australia. That's where Richard Butler is today, I believe, in Sydney. Richard, hello, welcome back.
Good morning, Brian. Yeah, I'm in Sydney this week again. And it's a lovely day down here. We're still into our spring season with the real estate. I'm looking out my window, and it's a beautiful sunny day here in Sydney. I don't know, it's about 21, 22 degrees already, I suppose, outside. And we've had a great week down here. You know, talk about a horse race. Well, our famous horse race, Brian, just diverging for a moment, diverging, is called the Melbourne Cup. And next week we're going to have to talk about that. That comes up the second Tuesday in November. And 650 million people watch that race. I wish we had an audience of 650 million people, Brian. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be excellent.
We'd be charging a lot of money. We'd be charging a lot of money for our ads.
It might get there. It'll get there.
I hope so. Well, you and I are old war horses, that's for sure. But look, let me give you the roundup this week on what's happening here in Sydney, because
Almost scared to hear it.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to tell you, we've got to go back into our radio shows of 2 years ago, and we've got to start taking out some of our statements, because we're almost oracles, you and I. We did tell people that what goes down must go up, And of course, what go up also can come down. But in Vanua, in Sydney this week, the roundup on the auctions, which is the barometer of how real estate is going, which is unashamedly my passion is real estate, and hence the show's based around lifestyles and real estate. But New South Wales had 612 auctions last week, and they had a 75% clearance, excuse me, a little bit down from the 80% from the week before. But, Brian, the average price was $1,031,000.
You got to be kidding me.
$1,031,000. And, you know, just in the last couple of weeks, too, we've been charting and chatting to real estate agents from Ray White in Melbourne, Victoria. And Melbourne last week had a 73% clearance rate. It had 932 auctions, and their average has gone to 910,000 last week, which is the amazing figures. And look, I pulled a couple of sales out just to give people a bit of an idea. You know, when we have the Ray White guys on, we talk about what's your lowest, what's your highest price. Well, look, the highest price in Melbourne last week was in Elwood, which is quite a nice suburb. It's not that far from the inner city. And the name of the street is called Goldsmith Avenue. And they got a lot of gold there last week.
How appropriately titled.
Yeah. $5,450,000 worth of gold
Okay, so you said it's in the suburbs, but how far from the city, and is it the Beverly Hills of Sydney? Is that what you're telling me?
This is Melbourne. No, the Beverly Hills of Melbourne basically is a place called Toorak, which is Silvertail. We call that Silvertail territory. But Elwood's not that far from there. It's on that inner city circle, and it's the house with one of those big two-story brick mansions, you know, built in the 1915, 1920, something like that. And that was sold for $5,450,000. And then out in a little an outlying suburb, which is called Werribee, which is quite a fair way out of the city, in a street called Carbon Street. Is that he'd gone from Goldsmith to Carbon? The house was sold out there for $256,000, and what a steal that would have been, because the rent would, you know, renting that out, you get a much more positive rental return. But look, that was Melbourne. In Perth, they did 60% clearance at their auction. Brisbane did 50%. Adelaide did 15%. I couldn't get Canberra this week. But look, we're going to go to the other states and talk about Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth in the upcoming shows. And we're going to continue talking to Ray White Real Estate guys. We simply do it as a service. We don't charge them. Maybe we should start charging them. But anyway, look, talking about the roundup, one of the things that I wanted to, you know, discuss with you later on is that you talk about, you know, when is it going to stop? How do people in Sydney afford to buy houses? Well, you know, during the week, there's been some great stories that have come onto my desk. One of them is how a young couple that was living in Sydney was facing exactly the problem that you asked the question about, which is a logical question. You know, how do they afford to get a start? Well, what he did is he himself and his wife, they got in the car and they have a couple of little kids. They're living in a rented apartment that saved up enough money for a deposit, and they drove for 6 hours out of Sydney, and they came to a country area on the border between New South Wales and Victoria called Albury, and they stopped and they went and bought a house down there for $400,000. Now, that same house would cost them possibly more than the average. It was a beautiful home, established gardens, 3 bedrooms, a garage, fully fenced, walk to shops, walk to the school, walk to the hospital, walk to the main street, and they bought that for $400,000. So that's $600,000 less mortgage that they had to pay if they wanted to live in Sydney. And that's called the ripple effect. And that ripple effect is starting to happen in Australia, in the towns like, you know, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, where the prices just seem so expensive. And it all, it's all relative, you know, it's all relative. The other story that came to light...
Hold on, before you go to the other story, because what I find interesting here is, as you say, they drove for basically 6 hours before they found what they were looking for. My guess is if they were working stiffs up in the Sydney area where they were renting, then they had to turn around and find new work.
Yeah, that's a great question, and there is a he actually had an answer for that. Modern telecommunications, you know, I've said it, let's go and live in Vanuatu and have a laptop and walk along the beach. His answer to that was that he's going to get rent a small office in the city of Albury. He's going to pay for that, which would be just a little one-man office, and sublease it. And he's going to do his work remote. And so basically he can sit on the computer, do his work in Albury, and log in and get it to his boss in Sydney. His boss didn't want to lose him because he's good at what he does. So they agreed that they would allow him to work remotely and provide all that information. Now, one of the things he said was, look, you know, I spend an hour and a half to 2 hours some days getting to work and from work. That's two more hours I can give the company in the morning, you know, virtually without any more pay. I'd rather be sitting in the desk giving them a couple of hours than sitting behind the wheel of the car, spending money in petrol and fees and highway fees, getting frustrated and stressed by the, you know, the commute to work. So he's overcome the commute. He saved him, the money that he saved on petrol is enough to cover the cost of the little office that he's going to sublease. And he can do that work
Much
more relaxed.
Exactly.
So there's always
an
answer.
I guess if you look at it from my point of view, I would even say on the office, and this is why I talk about working from home, I would probably try to find a room in that house and make my office there, so I really cut down on the commute, save that extra $100 or $200 that he's going to pay for that room, and that's going to go toward the mortgage, and he can pay that mortgage off faster.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, you know, I recently closed down an office. I've had an office in Sydney with maybe three or four desks and chairs for salesmen to work from. And about 9 or 10 months ago now, I closed it down, and I've had an office since 1980. And what I'm doing is with the salespeople that are working with the projects that I'm the project manager on, I'm actually providing them with a laptop, not the top of the range, only about $400 or $500 worth of laptop, putting them on Skype, and they can work from home and talk to people themselves. So we don't have to pay rent. We you know, they've got their Skype, they've got their laptop. World's changing. You've got to change with the world. I must admit, it took me a long time to sort of let go of the office. It was a bit like a security blanket for me. You know, I get up every morning, get in the shower, you know, get dressed, have, the wife would iron a shirt for me, I'd be out the door, I'd still have the tie not tied around the neck, and I'd be in the car. Sometimes I'd pick up a McDonald's coffee on the way to the office. I'd be hyperventilating by the time I got to the office. I don't do that anymore, and, you know, the most incredible thing is my blood pressure has come back to absolutely normal from years and years of having it up, you know, the high part of it a little bit too high. My blood pressure has come down to normal. So
that's it in a nutshell. I mean, that's what I talk about, Richard. And of course, we can extend that over to Vanuatu as we normally do when we go into the next segment. But the fact of the matter is, you realize it, well, better still, I'm going to make you realize. you're talking about these real estate prices going up. We're over $1 million. Average price now. And you realize for the folks that you're talking about that are commuting a half hour, 45 minutes to and from work, they spend more time outside of their major investments than they do at their major investment. Doesn't something seem wrong about that?
Yeah, it does. That's a very valid point. They say that the house is the largest investment the average person will ever make. And that is so true. I mean, I've been selling property for such a long time. I realize that. And it's an emotional investment. You know, buying your own home, it's emotional. It has to be in the right place, and it's financial. You know, it has to be the right sort of money that you can afford it, so you don't get into trouble, you don't overstep your mark. And that's something a lot of people have to learn as well. Beginners find it very hard to start low and then gradually buy and sell their way into what they really want. You know, real estate is, as they say, it's a bit like life, you know. Real estate is a journey; it's not a destination, and you've just got to go along with the journey and allow the real estate to work for you. And you know, talking about the real estate working for you, Brian, I have to also tell you the other story that's on my desk today. Very quickly, is that here in Sydney, we've got, everybody's seen the beautiful harbour that we have in Sydney. Melbourne's got a great big waterway as well, and Brisbane has a river. Melbourne, it's the bay, Port Phillip Bay. But in Sydney, Sydney Harbour is absolutely beautiful, and we've got the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and you know, of course, the famous Opera House, where the fireworks go off every Christmas. But we also have an area not far from the bridge, basically, which is called Point Piper. And it's one of Sydney's most exclusive. Recently, a Chinese woman paid $30 million. Recently, I'm talking about the last couple of weeks, and she bought a house. She's going to pull down the house and build a brand new home. The people that she bought the house from for $30 million, 40 years ago, they paid just $130,000 for the land only. Oh. 40 years ago.
Oh.
That's capital appreciation. That's capital appreciation.
Well, let's do this. We're going to take a break. I want to hear a good reason to take some of your money and invest in land in Vanuatu. I know you wrote an article about 10 reasons why that would be a great idea to do it. So we'll talk about that. Plus, Randy Mitchell, when we come back on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.
$800 per day rental from your investment property? Well, in booming Vanuatu in the South Pacific, we have fully absolute waterfront furnished beachfront three-bedroom bungalows that you can buy from only $399K. And yes, $800 per day rental return. And from only $399K, full price. Finance is available up to 100%. If you have sufficient home equity, conditions apply, and it will pay itself off. On 65% occupancy, and you can use it for a month or a year. And you can use it as a holiday home as well. Contact Richard now. At 61-417-007792. 417-007792. That's 417-007792. Call now.
Welcome back to Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific. And, you know, my head is just going back and forth every time Richard talks about the real estate prices in particular in Sydney. And I hear $1 million and I just say, you've got to be kidding me. But he's not. They keep on going up and they keep on going up. And one of the great things about the prices going up there, they seem to be fairly stable about 3 hours away in the South Pacific, the chain of islands known as the Republic of Vanuatu. And that's where we're going to talk about some good ideas for you today. You may recall last week we had Randy Mitchell from Oklahoma and soon to be a resident of the Port Vila area of Vanuatu. He was talking about the Dare to Escape conference that he went to a couple of weeks back in Orlando, Florida, USA. And one of the things that he learned about over there is something that yours truly has been involved with for a few years now, and they're called truly self-directed IRAs, individual retirement accounts. So we welcome Randy back to the program. And you know Richard's with us today. Randy, we had to cut you off just because of time last week, but we're glad to have you back because you learned a lot at the conference, in particular about self-directed IRAs.
Yes, Brian, thanks for having me back. Yes, picking up where I left off last week, one of the contacts I made was Linda DeMarler, who operates the tax firm in Washington, D.C., and she's providing us with expert guidance and assistance to help our clients move their traditional IRAs over into self-directed IRAs and keeping us up with that process to make sure that our clients are compliant with the myriad of tax laws and that's ever-changing. The second speaker that really got my attention was a gentleman named Dave Drummond, who is an international trust specialist who currently resides in Belize. Dave has a thorough knowledge of financial services, offshore structures, retirement vehicles, and specializes in setting up self-directed IRAs. So he's become a very valuable resource for us to help our clients actually go through the process of setting up their self-directed IRAs. The third gentleman was, his name is Joel Nagel. He's the managing partner of an international law firm based in Pittsburgh that specializes in international asset protection. Their job is to make sure people are able to protect what they've worked so hard for. Now, you know, lawyers know about a favorite person, but Joel is certainly a kind of guy that you want to be on your team.
Randy, when you talk about the truly self-directed IRAs, if you think about Vanuatu, what purpose would you see those IRAs working their magic in a place like the Republic of Vanuatu?
Well, the thing about a place in like Vanuatu is, you know, we have a residency package where you could do through your IRA, and for $80,000, you would get 5 acres of our papaya plantation on Nalakula. You would get a 10-year permanent residency for your entire family, a corporation established that comes with the BIPA and work permits. You get a local bank account and an international trust set up to protect your assets. And the thing about Vanuatu also is that it's an emerging nation with strong economic growth. It's a peaceful, Christian-friendly people that live a very relaxed lifestyle. Perfect year-round weather, low cost of living, and they have a pro-business government that really encourages investment. If a person has any skills at all, such as construction, mechanics, information technology is a booming area, plenty of jobs in the service industry, hotels, resorts, restaurants, businesses that offer leisure activities such as dive tours, sailboat rentals, and that kind of thing. The economic activity that's going on in Vanuatu today is such that anybody with any job skill could certainly relocate there and find good, meaningful work. Absolutely.
Okay, so if I'm looking at this from an investment standpoint, and Richard, help out here if I'm wrong, I can take my truly self-directed IRA, and with the different burgeoning businesses that are going on in the Republic of Vanuatu, I can invest in those businesses, and because I've had the foresight to actually look around the area and say, well, maybe I want to invest into this new resort that's going on, or maybe invest in a part of the airport that's being built. Is that right or wrong?
Absolutely correct. And even this morning, I was speaking to George, and he has a restaurant over there that he's looking at, trying to find somebody to come in as a partner or to lease the actual restaurant. So, you know, there's all sorts of opportunities there, not just with our real estate development. And that's one of the reasons why we've actually, strongly entered into Escape Artists and Escape Artists Vanuatu with such vigor is because it just opens up all the possibilities that rather than just representing, well, I, as you know, I'm a trade commissioner for the Republic of Vanuatu, and my brief is to promote Vanuatu tourism and infrastructure and agricultural investment. Now, that's great, but I also, it's an honorary position, so I don't get paid for it. So I have to make money. So I make my money being a project manager for the property development companies that I work with. But people are coming to me all the time saying, look, we need a bit of capital for this. We'd like to expand that. We'd like to sell that business off. We'd like to build a new building there. We'd like to incorporate a brand new development concept. You know, talking about a brand new development concept, the biggest phone company in the world is now a Chinese phone company called Huawei. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but they were over there 3 months ago, and they've just released that they're going to set up a new office there, a new station there, and they're going to provide 8 channels of television to the people of Vanuatu on their iPhones. So, I mean, you know, if the biggest telephone company in the world can go to Vanuatu, which only has a population of 240,000-odd people, and be able to start a business, surely someone with an IRA could go in there and buy a little business, set up a cafe or any sort of business. And also, you've got a willing workforce. I mean, the average wage, being a third world country, the average wage, unfortunately, is only as low as $2 an hour to have a very willing and educated Nevan worker work with you. And that's one of the reasons that Randy's going there as well. It's not just the physical real estate, it's actually the people of Vanuatu, and he can see by coming over and doing what he's going to do, he's not only helping himself and his family, but he's also helping the families and the people of Vanuatu.
And Brian, right, you know, the thing is that you're obviously, you know a little bit about self-directed IRAs, but you know, your average American doesn't really know that or understand this, and are just not aware of the fact that they can make an overseas investment and not be any more risky than investments they make here in the U.S. and the upside is far greater overseas than what they're going to find making an investment here in the U.S.
Well, the fact of the matter is, if you have gotten yourself involved in a truly truly self-directed IRA, then you consider yourself a halfway decent investment when you see it, and it doesn't have to be the thing that your broker is going to put yourself into. Randy, I want to thank you again for coming back to be with us on the program today. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you real soon. Randy Mitchell,
thank you so much,
he's a part of Escape Artist Vanuatu, joining us on the Overseas Radio Network today. This is Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific.
Dreams and goals are so important, don't you agree? Most of us have a dream location to relocate to. 85% of tourists recently surveyed wanted to own their own waterfront bungalow. You see, it's an investment and could be an income-producing property for your retirement. Or, if you're ready to relocate now, a South Seas island sounds okay to me to just become a beachcomber with a laptop. If this resonates with you, then you have to call or email Richard Butler, the sponsor of this show. Ask Richard, a project manager for property developers in the Republic of Vanuatu, who have one-bedroom waterfront resort bungalows from $199,950. Yes, from $199,950. What value that is! But there is more. From only $399,000 for amazing three-bedroom, two-story holiday homes that you can use when you pre-book and will supply you with amazing passive income returns. Imagine waterfront bungalows that can return $200 to as much as $800 a day rental. Plus, Richard informs of the new Le Plateau residential estate with three-bedroom house and land from $255,000. Which the local banks state they will finance approved clients from 20 to 30% deposit. Email him at richardbutlersales@gmail.com or call him on country code 61 417 007 792.
Again, my thanks to Randy Mitchell, for joining us. And you can read Randy's articles in Escape Artist Vanuatu, which you will find at escapeartist.com/Vanuatu. So we can make it easier for you anyway. Randy has articles there. So does Richard. And Richard, before we talk about one of your keen articles that you put together, you know, I was just thinking about the $40 million spent for Piper Island there, or the property on Piper Island.
Point Piper. It's called Point Piper. It's part of
Point
the Sydney
Piper.
Harbor. Yeah.
Okay.
It's part of the Sydney
now,
Harbor.
Now, imagine that $40 million being spent on waterfront property in Vanuatu. Think you would have gotten a lot more land?
Well, hang on a minute. I can, if you've got the $40 million, Brian, I can put you into a really good deal.
I'll tell you what, if you got the gusto, I got the beer.
I like that one. It's all relative. And, you know, what one of the reasons why I started looking offshore is because, you know, I couldn't find, you know, it's all about the deal, D-E-A-L. I couldn't find the deal in the waterfront anymore in Australia that I could do what I do. And what I learned to do, my old mentor taught me this years ago, was go and buy a piece of property, buy it for the best possible price. And he always used to say, you know, first of all, you make your money the day you buy the property. The rest of it is just time. You make the money day you buy the property. And the other thing that another person said, which I've said many times, is that, you know, real estate is only dear the day that you buy it. From that moment on, it becomes a great investment, a good deal. And so I went over to Vanuatu, you know, searching, and it wasn't the first place I went to. I'd been up to Asia, I'd been up to Bali, and I was looking for something that wasn't that far in traveling time away from Australia, and I found it in Vanuatu. And then, you know, continuing on with the story I recently wrote, and aren't we getting a great response from Escape Artists Vanuatu, the new web e-zine or magazine that we're a part of now, and very pleased and very happy to be part of it. And we're seeing some returns for the work we put in. We're getting, you know, a large number of people going to the site and then filling in, asking for questions about how to become an expert expat on Vanuatu. But I wrote this article on 10 reasons why investing in land or investing in Vanuatu land is such a great idea. And it's amazing how many people can look at a vacant piece of land and not see an incredible investment opportunity.
I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. I think in the United States, again, speaking from my area of the United States, people shun folks to go after vacant land. But there's something that you've stated here, and I think you're going to be able to expound on it, and I certainly hope you do. It takes a certain eye, but in order to have that eye, somebody has to train the eye in order to really see what other folks aren't seeing. It's almost like being a business owner as opposed to being an employee. Employees have a limited capacity for seeing beyond the next paycheck, whereas entrepreneurs, business owners, are looking at the whole picture, the big picture. There's an expense on column, there's a revenue column, and the bottom line is what you take home. And so I read your article, and I said, you know what? Most people don't look at the land in their own state this way, but in Vanuatu, it seems that it's an even better deal.
Yeah, it is. And you're right about, people, the way, well, we all agree. Some people see it, some people don't. Some people make it happen, some people watch it happen. Some people would really like to get a start, and they don't know where to get a start. And hopefully the program, radio shows that we're doing, is also, you know, hopefully we're giving a bit back to give people a track to run on and sharing some of our experiences. And, you know, one of those experiences that, you know, you've got to get up out of that chair and have a go. You've got to go and buy the paper. you've got to go and up to the library and get some books on investing in real estate, get some tapes, hey, the internet, Google, Mr. Amazon, they're there waiting for you. All you got to do is just lift your finger and press the button, press the mouse and go surfing. You'll find people talking to you about investing in real estate, and you can just listen to every one of these people and get the information, and then gradually as you get more and more information, you become a bit of an expert. You know what you're starting to look for, and you have been talking to experts, so therefore, you know, you're learning from them at all times. And that's how I learned, you know. Going back to the article, I hope people will go to Escape Artist Vanuatu and look at 10 reasons why investing in Vanuatu is a great deal. You know, I'm just going to very quickly run through them. Just the headlines, just the titles. One, owning vacant land means not having to make any property changes. You know, if you got a block of land, a vacant block of land, you bought it for whatever price, you're paying it off. You don't have to worry about it. It's actually sitting there. It's working for you. You're asleep. It's not. Every day it's working for you, increasing in value. Vacant land is totally hands-off. If you own rental properties in the past, you probably had to deal with the hassles that come with it, you know, collecting rent from the tenant. I mean, you've got to play to, you know, if you're going to play, you have to pay, and you have to give to get. So, you know, rental properties, don't get me wrong, they're great, but there's a bit more work involved in them against buying just a vacant bit of land.
And if I can here, if you don't mind, if you have the wherewithal within your self-directed IRA to buy the land outright, let's say the land cost, we're just going to use your figure, $55,000, and you paid cash and took care of your stamp tax and whatnot. It might understand that you don't have to, if you don't want to, pay insurance on that vacant land. And is there a tax yearly levied on that vacant land?
In Vanuatu, there's no land tax, but the projects that we do are what we call strata title leases, and they come under the road works and the management of the subdivision is done by a body corporate. Now, you know, on our body corporates, that might cost you somewhere between $500-$700 a year, up to like on the absolute waterfront, there's more work on them. Keeping them nice, so you that could be as high as $1,000 to $1,200 a year, something like that. That's body corporate, which includes your rates and lease payments to the custom owner. So yeah, it's not a great problem, not a great cost to hold it. You know, the other thing about vacant lands, you know, the owners are generally motivated to sell.
Why tends to happen.
Well, you know, if you're buying property in an area where people are interested, you're going to get an agent give you a call and say, hey, I've got someone's interested in buying your piece of property. You put a sign on it, you know, for sale. One day the phone rings. Hello, look, I want to buy your piece of land. Oh, yeah, and you think, well, I bought it 5 years ago for, you know, $55,000. What's the going rate at the moment? Oh, you know, $80,000, $90,000. Yeah, if you give me $90,000, you can have it. And then you can take that money and roll it into another one, you know. You're not being a marketer. You're actually just being a buyer on that basis. But you can grow into being a marketer of land by buying a block of land that can be subdivided up into perhaps maybe two or three lots. Now, not all our projects you can do that, but we have a couple of subdivisions where you could buy the block of land and you could go back to the surveyor and say, look, I want to cut this in half, and you could sell half off and keep half. And do you know what happens? Normally when you do that, you practically finish up with the block. You get a return of the outlay and you finish up pretty close to getting the block of land for nothing.
Wow.
You know, yeah, so that's another thing you can do. You know, also, if you can get some vendor finance on some of our projects, we're actually offering some vendor finance. That means that you can get a start. For example, if you could afford to pay $1,000 to $1,500 a month, we've got a payoff deposit plan which we'll be releasing, I think next week, and or maybe the week after. And, you know, if the block of land, say, $55,000, you can afford $1,000 a month. You could pay that off over 12 months, at the deposit off at $1,000 to $1,500 a month. After 12 months, you've got $15,000 paid off at rough figures. We'd take you down to the bank and say to the bank manager, this guy just paid 20 to 30% off the block of land. He wants to borrow the rest of the money from the bank. The bank manager is going to please to see you because you've already got a track record that shows him that you can afford $1,000 to $1,500 a month. Now, if he's going to loan you the balance of the land, that repayment might come down to only $500 a month. So he sees you as a great risk factor. And bank managers, believe me, when you walk in the door, they've got the R factor. That's the risk factor. That's the first thing that they're looking for, is what sort of a risk are you and whether they should loan you the money or not. You know, research, learning, you know, what I've just explained to you is all comes down to research and being able to buy and sell land, vacant land, without ever even setting foot on it. I've got clients who have bought off us, purchased the property, and then turned around and said it was 4 or 5 years later, can you recommend an agent to put that back on the market and sell it for us? And we've done that because we were developers then, and we still are. The company I work for as a project manager, they are developers today. But for Escape Artist Vanuatu, we now have a section for Escape Artist Real Estate. So you can come back to us and we can list your property on Escape Artist Real Estate, and you can then get to, well, the figures that I've got on Escape Artist is that they get, you know, they're number 7 out of 10 on Google as the most visited site. They've been around for 19 years, and we're getting something like 1 million unique visitors a month. That's 12 million unique visitors a year who are all interested on escaping and moving to a new country, a new climate, a new life. So that's the sort of people you want to be showing your land to. So we've got that availability as well. You know, yourself, you can then turn around and, you know, your income potential can actually explode when you're selling finance. So you can turn around and say to the guy, look, he says, oh, look, I've only got 10 or 20 grand. You want, you know, 80, 90,000. You can turn around and say, look, I'll take your $10,000 or $20,000 as a deposit, and I'll give you vendor finance over 5 years at an interest rate of 9% to pay it off. Now, you know, you've still got the equity. You hold the mortgage over the property, and you're getting 9 to 10% interest on your money over 5 years. You've got that check coming in every month, and you've got the security of the property as well. You know, look, we're only up to number 7, but you know, the low cost of land makes it a good long-term investment, and of course
let's keep that long-term investment and a few of the other items for next week, when we can talk more about it and really get the gist of everything that's there. There's been a lot that you've brought to the table right now. Again, you can look at the article for yourself at escapeartist.com/Vanuatu. In case you don't know how to spell it, it's Vanuatu. For Richard Butler, Randy Mitchell, who joined us earlier today, David Gregerson is our producer. I'm Brian. It's been a pleasure, an absolute pleasure to be with you today on Lifestyles and Real Estate of the South Pacific on the Overseas Radio Network.